All right, let's go ahead and call our meeting to order. Can we do roll call?
I can do roll call.
Okay.
Okay. Vicky Buffo.
Here.
Jared Ping.
Here.
Anna Morris. Terrence Stuper.
Here.
Ryan Perry.
Here.
Gary Trulock. And then myself. All right, you want to join us with the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We invite you to remain standing if you choose while we pray. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom as we tackle the issues facing Tolono this month. And we ask you, Father, for hearing ears and open hearts, to receive your wisdom and to not make snap judgments. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen.
All right. Public comments. Do we have any public comments? Where's the public comment sheet?
Thank you.
There. Sorry. All right, Mr. Hughes.
Actually, could I maybe table mine? I see that we've got...
Well, do you just want to skip to it?
Closure of the truck route.
We'll skip to it right there. We'll just talk about that. Because you guys are both here for that, right?
Well, that's not why we're here, but yeah.
Okay. Well, and I think I know why you're here, and it's probably why that's on there. So.
Okay.
But go ahead. You've got the floor.
Actually, we were here to make our donation, but...
Perfect.
We'll hang on until we see if the truck route's going
to stay. How about we'll just take that off of there? Does anybody have a problem with taking that off of the agenda?
Why was it put on to begin with? That's what I was wondering.
Because the letters and everything going unanswered.
Okay.
So, but perfect. That's easy.
I guess I'm aware of one letter.
I think there's two, but.
Could have been.
And when you stopped by the house, I meant to say something to you about it. But then,
well, that's what, like I said, they went just like those went to Premier, and so just introduce Bob. Bob is new.
The problem is we have two different companies, and I always think of you guys as the same. So,
but no, we both brought our donation.
That's awesome.
We just would hope it was noted in the minutes for future issues that come up. It's a substantial donation for a small business to make.
It is.
In addition to all the other things we do. And the other thing we are trying. I know we've had two trucks stopped from United Prairie, and we appreciate that. Honestly, that's helpful.
I think they just wrote warnings, and I asked the chief to estimate. He said about 10. They've stopped about 10 so far. They just wrote warnings so far.
And just so everybody understands, so we're dealing with really three levels of traffic. Our trucks, Premier's trucks, and then the grower trucks. Those are hard for either of our companies to monitor. Our two trucks that got stopped, they were both part-time staff. We're trying to get it through their head, but it's helpful when they stop them. We appreciate they just write a warning, but honestly, that's the only thing that's going to
keep
that enforced.
And I might get them mixed up, because one of the excuses they got was there was a train on the tracks, which there kind of was, but the train was moving.
Yeah.
And you guys have that choice to make. Is it going to stop or not?
We've told them if the train's moving, they're to use the traditional truck route. It's only if the train is stopped.
Okay.
And like I said, it's unusual if it's hard to judge. I mean, usually it's either going or it's... Or it's not. So that's not an excuse. Yeah, the first driver, that was his issue, was he said, well, there was a train going by. Well, it was just a normal through train. You got to wait on that.
And we appreciate you guys working with us.
We're trying.
Helpful.
I mean, we, like I said, we want to keep it open. It's, it's good for all of us and our businesses with what we spend out there. So.
Oh, yeah, it is. And then there's one other question I have. It doesn't matter. Well, I think it was Sunday. They had both of them closed. They had a train covering all the crossings.
Yeah, it was.
For like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, there was a day. And like I said, those are, it's generally an hour. Who knows what the river. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse, but.
Now, is there a perception that we control?
Is there a what?
A perception that we control whether or not they're parked or not?
If the train parks?
Right.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, sounds good.
I know, we've tried to talk to the railroad about it because, was it last year they closed that crossing during harvest? And then that, and they've done that the last, what, 6 years? Every 6 years they redo that crossing or something like that, or 5 years? And they always do it during harvest.
Yeah, they.
So.
I don't believe it's intentional, but they.
I think it just comes up on the calendar to do it.
Yeah, you can't, I mean, dealing with the railroad is, you might as well be.
Yeah.
Up into the wall.
We've been, yeah.
Yeah.
We got two of them, come through town.
So.
Perfect.
Anyway, that's our only.
But we appreciate it, we appreciate, you know, calling and stopping by and.
Oh, yeah, we wanna.
And even talking to your counterparts, so.
Yeah, especially when it's, if somebody's driving too fast.
Yeah. And it's not normally you guys driving too fast, it's normally the independents and.
The farmers are the biggest.
Your guys are usually driving real, you know, about right.
Yeah, and this is the worst time of year, I mean, 90% of it will be done here pretty quick, regardless, but, anyway.
Perfect.
We're fully, I'm brand new, I'm Bob Carlson, I'm new with the community and new with Premier. I'm looking for your feedback because we truly believe that the co-op system is gonna be a direct reflection of the co-op, of the communities we serve. And we do look at it as a service, so if there's ways that you can keep me on, in line, don't hesitate to give me a call.
Okay.
Because I do consider this job at Premier through a co-op model to be a privilege, and I'm looking for your feedback, I really, really am.
Yeah.
And so the letters, this is terrible, because it doesn't sound like an excuse, and I know my dad taught me the effective range of an excuse is 0.0 meters. So I don't wanna give you an excuse, but if they came in and I didn't respond, I own that, but don't hesitate to give me a call, anytime.
Okay.
Because it might have got lost in the transition.
And you can always drop your contact information off.
You got it.
And then
I'll do that.
Matt, the guy in the back, is our, he's here full time. He's one of our head of maintenance and stuff.
Sounds good.
So he kind of tries to work with you guys. He's moved some signs for you to give you a little bit wider turning radius and stuff.
Yeah.
And this helps too because we don't have to spend all of our motor fuel tax money on one road.
Sure.
So we can spread it out. So. But cool. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Thanks for working with us.
Let me get this too.
It would be Brandy, but she's not here. So thanks, guys. We'll just throw that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The donation is soft.
Nice to meet you.
The Rose.
We're supposed to carry 57. For some reason, I didn't. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll let you open that.
I gotcha.
Okay, next on the thing. I guess that was our two public comments. And then miscellaneous word work. I guess it's you, Matt. Both you guys. Well.
I'll just start with motor fuel tax. This is really just a past thing. Tracy already talked to Brandy. It's already been paid. It's just somewhere we either lost or didn't get a signature on one form. We just need you to sign it. It's all been approved. It's all been paid. It's just the final pay estimate for the motor fuel tax stuff. For
God, it did the work.
And then I guess I'll ask you if you want me to go ahead and go now and talk about Safe Route School and ADA if you want to wait for a new business.
Number. Yeah, that's fine. We can do it now since you're here.
Okay. All right, Safe Routes to School. I got a few different documents for everybody. You just want to take one and pass it around.
Changing papers, trying not to get them all mixed together.
I don't know if you have stuff, sir.
Do you have one?
There we go.
Getting Brandy on this chair.
Sure.
Papers.
Yeah. And there might be a few extra you guys could just keep here for anybody that's not here. Or one for the service, sir. Essentially, this is the Safe Routes to School program. Right now, IDOT's basically accepting applications for grants up to $200,000 for infrastructure projects, which would cover construction and construction inspection. Basically what you see, if you want, I would say go ahead and just skip to the map first, the big 11 by 17, which is the third handout there. Myself, Matt, and Rob all met with Andrew Larson, the school district superintendent, and tried to kind of formulate a plan that everybody was on board with and that people kind of met everybody's criteria so that the school district would support it and so would the village. What you're seeing there is essentially the blue is what I'm proposing to go ahead and complete design on, which would include the topographic survey, new boundary survey necessary, design construction plans, bidding documents, all that stuff. The red are other areas we kind of looked at. I think probably if anything, the red areas, we can probably get by with probably just a few spot repairs and maybe some ADA ramps improvements. We do have existing sidewalks in those areas. They're on Walnut, the red. We actually have sidewalk on the south side and it's in fair shape. We'll probably just have to do a few spot repairs and or ADA ramps. And then that one along the park is actually in pretty good shape as well. And I don't know that we'll have to do anything there, but we'll take a look at it while we're doing this. Essentially what came up in our meeting was the mayor, Matt, Andrew Larson, basically kind of all shared the opinion that Rocket Road was an issue, which we all know about anyways. Unfortunately, there's not a great access point to get down and around the curve at Rocket Road, and we've already got some dangerous issues there with cars anyways. So what we came up with was getting people from the school to the subdivision there and get to the access point on the sidewalks and then have a crossing there on Central to get to that other subdivision that's far enough off that curve that we can put some advance warnings. Likely, in my mind, I envision advance warning signs, rumble strips, possibly guardrail at that curve, and then a proper crosswalk there across Central Avenue to get people through there. And then access from the south, then coming down East Street, tying into some existing new sidewalk there at the park, which ties all the way over to Neal Street there. This is Route 1 or 45. And this is all kind of, you know, conceptually our big picture. This is, let's get everybody that's in this quadrant there, let's get access to the other quadrants of town. And as of now, this funding will be available annually. So if we get it this year, we could potentially get it next year and do a crossing at 45 that would improve pedestrian and bike crossings there at 45 to get the west side of town connected to the east and possibly then extending and getting a good crossing of the railroad tracks, maybe at Elizabeth or something down there to get the south side of town access up to the school as well. Based this is what we came up with, presented a contract to the mayor last meeting. I've got a couple copies of it here as well, basically to complete. I'll go through it again. Basically, the $200,000 that is grant eligible for reimbursement is construction dollars and construction inspection dollars, which right now, that budget for this is anywhere from $210,000 to $270,000. $200,000 of that will be reimbursable. And then there's an additional, they don't pay for preliminary engineering, they require, in most cases, a preliminary environmental site assessment, which is kind of a costly thing just to verify. I don't know if it'll be a thing or not, but they said that they've frequently required them, even though it's a sidewalk and there's unlikely that there's gonna be much environmental effects of this. And then they don't cover design engineering. So those three costs would be borne on you guys directly, and that would be encompassed in that anywhere from, well, up to, I'll say, $270,000 based on our estimates would get all of this done. And that's where we're at right now. And that's basically speculative on sidewalk pricing that we've seen that's pretty normal. I think Matt got $7.50 a square foot. We've estimated this at $10, and primarily that's because there may be some additional grading, curb ramps and stuff end up costing more, things like that, that we'll likely run into as we progress through the design. Moving on, I guess first, does anybody have any comments on this that you would say, you know, maybe we need to look at the route, or does this in general, you know, meet the board's expectations for something like this?
Are we covering the amount that goes across the school lot too? Because that's a
we've talked about this. I think they're planning on covering this right here because most of this is already done. This the part by the wrestling room.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he talked about covering that too.
Well, yeah, it sounded like he was open to doing some kind of cost sharing on some of that yeah. stuff. There wasn't a direct agreement or anything at this point. You know, say everything end of the day costs $275,000. You guys have $75,000 to be picking up. It may be something where the school splits that evenly. It may be that you work out a percentage of what's on the school's property, and maybe they pay a percentage.
I'd like to see that because that's there's a lot of square feet on that.
On the north side of the school is not in
township.
It's township. So you're talking.
On the Long Rocket Road.
You're talking 3/4 of all this is not even in our city limits.
We don't have the schools.
Yeah. I know we go up to this right here, I think.
The subdivision pretty much is our cutoff.
So, and maybe the township will pick up some of it too. We haven't even talked to them, so.
What about the idea of a one-time reduction in their TIF reimbursement? Because we pay them TIF dollars. I don't know if it's even a possibility. And we
pick what we pay them on TIF, don't we?
I'm sure there's an agreement. Okay. Yeah.
Back when it started.
Well, it's an option. We can bring it up with them, and that would be.
I don't know. It may not even be something that we're allowed to do.
But it might be cleaner for them just to pay for their part of it.
Right.
Probably easier for us too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of having to do math on it.
and that's a talk to interest find out. I mean, just at an estimate, how much their part is, how much.
That's easy. We can come up with that.
Is your estimate including the red areas, or is that?
No, it's based on the blue areas, and I would say our estimate would cover the spot repairs in the red areas that I think are probably going to be necessary.
Okay.
So regardless, we're out $70,000 if the school doesn't put in for it, or doesn't do anything, or the township doesn't do anything. So
it's somewhere in there. And all of it is scalable. Ideally, I wanted to make sure it was a big enough project so that you get your maximum reimbursement, and then if we say, okay, bids came in high and it's $300,000 and you guys want to cap it at $250,000, we can cut a section off and say we'll do that next year.
If the school doesn't want to do anything, I'd say get rid of the two by the entrances and we'll just run in the back. That'd be an easier cost to swallow than...
Can you break down the cost?
Yeah. I can.
This is a time... If you guys want to move forward on this is a time thing.
You said $10 a square foot?
$10 a square foot. Oh, yeah, so, you got the square footage on there, so you could just calculate real quick. Roughly. I mean, it's going to be pretty close. But...
And I think I might be wrong, but wasn't this one little section in Kinderwood, wasn't that on their property?
Which one?
One little itty-bitty section right here. Well, that section
Kinderwood's
and then...
Kinderwood's over there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I in the wrong spot?
Yeah.
Oh, this spot right here in Kinderwood?
Yes.
Wasn't that on their property, right?
The Kinderwood one is basically you guys have an existing water main easement.
Okay.
You'd probably still have to get another easement to put the sidewalk through there.
Because Kinderwood was wanting to put where their dry drainage is, was wanting to put something there, so maybe we could talk to... I mean, that's not a whole lot. We're talking, what, $1,000 maybe?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that is. A few hundred square feet, probably.
And see if Kinderwood actually would. They're putting put one here, entertaining with the school. See if they'll pay for that part since it's on their property anyway.
So Area 1 and Area 11 along Rocket Road is $74,000, just those two stints. And we want to keep the kids off that road anyway. It'd be great if they'd pay for it. If the township wants to go into it sometime later on next year or something, but.
We'll reach out to the school, and I don't know what their budget is or anything. I know they're getting ready to have school buildings paid off in the next couple of years, which is nice.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say is just, as far as Andrew Larson was concerned, he was very interested in getting something on Rocket Road.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
maybe, you know, not right on the road, but along that. So as far as their support goes, I don't know that that's going to change it, but just something for consideration.
Matt, can you reach out to the township this week? The township guy, and see if they'll kick in a little bit on this project too, since it's on their road. And then I'll try to reach out to Andy on Friday.
What would it cost to put a walnut and long 45?
Mm-hmm.
That crossing is an accident waiting to happen.
Well, we're talking to the railroad on that one.
Yeah, that one, basically we've stopped at the railroad primarily because of time constraints. Dealing with the railroad, we would speculate if that's going to be a thing. We would almost want to start looking at that in the next couple months to get it in for next year, because they just...
What about crossing the highway there, though?
Both of them and IDOT are, they're both going to be a time suck as far as getting the negotiations down through that stuff. You know, I'm sure both of them are interested in safe crossings. You know, getting that through and getting them to permit what we think is a good amicable thing just takes time usually. Mm-hmm. So we essentially left it off there on purpose because... As far as getting to this year's funding cycle, which submissions are due in a month, it just was not going to be feasible as part of it if we're going to submit for this year. So, and cost-wise, that's going to take up a fair amount of money dealing with the railroad and IDOT.
What's the actual due date for this?
November 19th. We have to have submitted... I have kind of set if that color-coded one on the front is kind of our schedule I've kind of set. And ideally, I want to be done with everything by the 15th so we can make sure it gets there and gets on time and everything.
They don't start looking at them until that date, right?
So anybody that's submitted already, they don't have preference over the people that are submitting at the end. They're going to basically take them, grade them, and then go from there, award from there. Which I think will be helpful to kind of, in our application, spell out that, you know, we have more of what to do, like the crossings and things like that. It's going to show them that, you know, they've got more need and they're willing to invest in their community. So,
I think we're going to have to wait till the next meeting, though, until we hear back from the school, unless we just cut those out on our own.
Up to you guys.
I just
we'll
want to be
still
able to
have engineering costs, though, is what we'll still have. What do you think the engineering costs?
If you execute the agreement, you know, our intention is to get started tomorrow so we can get as far along as we can.
Okay. What do you think the cost will be of the that we're not going to get reimbursed for?
Right. Basically, the estimate for preliminary stuff, and we did it all at T&M because it's just not a well-defined scope at this point, but preliminary stuff is really just kind of helping getting application out the door, meeting with the school, filing paperwork, all that stuff. We have that at $7,000. I would envision that coming in slightly less than that. The PISA, we've talked to a couple sub-consultants that we would use for that, and they estimated between 6 and 11, but we don't know if that's going to be required or not. IDOT has kind of told everybody it's likely going to be a requirement, but I just have trouble believing that there's going to be enough environmental concerns with this project.
It is the state of Illinois.
It is the state of Illinois. So we have that in the budget, $6,000 to $11,000. I would guess that's going to be on the lower end again. And then the design budget for this, I think, is $34,000, which would include topo survey, boundary survey, contract documents, construction documents, bidding services. Basically, it gets you to a point that you've had a dollar figure from a contractor. Total, you said the high end on all of those, $18,000,
$53,000, $52,000. That'd be our out of pocket. And that would be spread out over, that would be all up front. That'd be over the, some of it would come out of next year's budget.
Next fiscal year?
Next fiscal year, yeah. Plan next year too.
And where are we getting it at for this year's? Do we have it in the general?
It's in the general, but it's not budgeted in the general. And I don't like to get out of the budget too far.
This is
Yeah, so this is all.
This is getting out of the budget pretty far.
Yeah. How much do you think we'd be out this fiscal year?
I would say it'd still be on the high end of that, because the idea is we're going to try to get as much design done as we can.
Okay.
I mean, as far as we're concerned, you know, it's not going to kill us if it's like, okay, we need to wait till what, May 1 is your guys' fiscal turnover?
Yeah.
And split it and just say, we'll bill you May 1. We might do all the work in the next 3 months, but, you know, invoice you in February.
Over half of it.
I mean, I don't think we've ever charged anybody interest on anything.
So we're still talking.
We've had some things that last like 12 months, which is not great for a small business, but it happens.
Yeah.
When's the next school board meeting? When's the next school board meeting? I doubt Andrew can do this on his own.
I don't know when it is.
It's either tonight or, yes, last night or tomorrow night. He had said that.
I think
it's right around our board meeting.
Because I think they're once a month, aren't they?
Yeah.
And we'd only have one more before the 19th. Yeah, there's a 2 week break, the next 3 week break.
3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that'd be almost, it'd be too late to get started on the project.
Could we meet on the 6th?
So.
I wouldn't feel comfortable voting on this until I got some more information on that.
So we're not going to do it this year.
Well,
there's no way we'll get.
I mean, I'm for
done by then.
Safety of our kids. Our biggest safety issue is 45 down here. I'm not in favor for paying for.
School.
70% of the project that's not even in our village limits.
And you look at it, Area 4 is actually all school district as well.
Correct.
It's running behind those houses.
I mean, I'm willing to work with them, but I'm not willing to basically spend $100,000 that's not in our city limits.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree on that.
And I don't know, if you guys talk to them, they come back saying, yeah, we want to do this, we can call a special meeting
mm-hmm.
in the next week.
We can do that.
Yeah.
If you want
to do that. Should have some idea, but
because we've got two more weeks of October.
Okay. So you want to table it until you get something back from Township and Andy?
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. Okay, perfect. So.
It's a great idea, and I like it. Just not the money part of it.
Yeah, I'm willing to work as best we can, but I'm not gonna. Rush and push it out, and then us figure out where we're going to come up with $100,000.
Well,
yeah. Plus, it'll make our auditors happy if we're not having work done in one fiscal year and paying for it in another fiscal year.
We don't worry them too much. So, table it for now. Anything else? You were going to do a workup of a guardrail for that curve on Rocket Road. Did you have a chance to look at that?
I've not done that.
Okay.
No, I don't have that done.
Which, that won't be until next year either, but at least we'd have an idea of what a cost would be.
Right. Yeah, we can figure something out for that. I guess the other part of this packet is kind of moot at this point, but it's really just a walkability, bikeability survey. It gives you more points in this kind of stuff is if you have additional supporting documentation, which if we're not applying this year, it gives you more time to get as much public feedback as possible, which I think we all know is extremely difficult to gain. Unless it's negative, then you get all you want. As our Safe Routes to School then is tabled, other thing. Oh, the ADA stuff at the Village Hall. Let's see.
Did you guys look at those?
Yeah, I was trying to make...
One of them goes
without
the
having
way of the ramp now.
That's what
the grade is higher, so the ramp will be as much ramp.
The
other
blue
way
one
if we
goes
go towards the garage, it'll end up in the garage, won't it? Past the garage?
You have to turn.
Have to turn it.
It's not an ADA standard. No.
So it'd be cheaper to go the other direction, but we're going to lose the flower bed in front of Brandy's window.
I don't have my drawing. I lost it.
So we can
we got
plant another flower bed.
Oh. And how much did you think that was going to cost?
I didn't do a formal workup, but if you're going east, I would say it's definitely going to be cheaper. You've got, likely you could construct that out of concrete because the grades work out better where you would just be doing some minor fill in behind that planter on the east side. And by the time you're out 15 foot outside the planter, you're basically at grade that's there now. You wouldn't be doing much grading there. What, 5 foot wide by about 45 feet, 250 square feet, plus some railing and stuff. You'd probably be looking at, I would say $3,000 to $5,000 if you're paying to have it done. If like Matt and his guys are doing it, you're gonna get substantially less cost. We'd be paying basic materials and then internal labor.
And we're redoing everything, right? The steps, the...
Yeah, you'd have to redo the steps and everything because of the landing there.
They need done anyway, so...
Yeah, to get it up higher.
Yeah.
What about the door? We talked about redoing that door.
If we go to the east, I don't think we'll have to redo the door.
Okay.
Yeah, my recommendation would be east, but it's obviously...
I like going east, too, because then that way it keeps it out of the... away from the garage. We'll have to turn it. Straight ramp.
Mm-hmm.
You said, how long would the ramp be?
Which one?
The blue one's 30 feet.
East.
30. I think it says 30 feet there.
Okay.
That's the max that you can run at the maximum grade slope for a ramp, which is...
Well, the feet's, it's 30 feet plus a 5 foot pad at the bottom, so...
Right. Yep. You have to have a landing at the end of all ramps, 5x5 clear.
Yeah, I think 30 foot's the longest you can go.
30 foot's the longest you can go, and that's based on the rise. ADA restricts you to that high of a rise over 30 feet. It's basically an inch per foot, so 30 inches is the most you can go without having a landing.
Any questions about that? We're not approving anything, we're just looking at it and talking about it. That'll be a spring project.
Yeah.
Because that needs done really bad.
Yeah, I think our east is the best option. We're not protruding into the garage area. I agree.
Any questions, guys? Think we're good?
All right.
You guys have anything before he takes off? All right.
All right, good.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Tim. Go ahead and switch. You got a set. Are you going anywhere? No. Okay. You guys are on. We'll move to the auditor's report.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Greg Douglas. I'm the senior manager on the audit engagement from Martin Hood. With me tonight is Nate Borman. He was the supervisor in charge of the audit this year. We're going to go over the audit package. Do you guys have the books? Or are you looking at
They all got electronic versions.
Yeah, electronic,
yeah. Okay, cool. So we're going to go through the big audit package, and we're going to go through the two letters that also were issued with the audit, and then we'll answer any questions you might have. So I'll turn it over to Nate so he can go through the audited financial statement package.
The first page I want to point you out to is page 2. That will be your document page 2, where it has 2 at the bottom. On this page, on the third paragraph, you'll know there's the opinion section. This is what we call unmodified, a clean opinion, which is what you want to hear as board members. What it means is the financial statements are proper in form compared to the general accepted accounting principles, and that the financial statements are supported by the village's underlying accounting record. Next page I'd like to point you to is page 4. This is Exhibit A, the statement of net position. Nothing major changed from last year other than just a couple accounts I want to point out is accounts receivable went up quite a bit this year, and that's mainly just due to the water rates increasing. And then the other one that kind of has a larger jump is the supplies and parts inventory. That's mainly related to you guys purchasing some new water meters at the end of the year to replace some of the old ones. Those changes are AR is up about $54K from last year, and then supplies is up about $16. Next, if you flip the page to Exhibit B, You won't see it on here, but one of the main changes from last year is you guys had the forgiveness of the note receivable for the park district. So you don't have that on here this year. And then also you'll see in the program revenue section that the water and sewer revenues are up approximately $130K from last year, and this is related to the increase in rates. Next page I'd like to point out would be Exhibit D, that is page 7. The two main things on here that I'd like to point out is just if you go towards the bottom of the page and the other financing sources, there's transfers in. These are transfers from the general fund to the police and street and alley fund to zero out the negative cash balances, which is an entry that we do every year as part of the audit. Next would be flip to the next page, which is Exhibit E. This is the budget comparison to the actual. The main thing I want to point out here was just in the bottom section, the TIF area, the Tax Increment Financing Fund, there you'll see a negative amount here. This is primarily related to the police station wasn't added to the appropriations, so that's why you guys ended up overspending over the budget. Next, I'm going to jump to Exhibit G, which is on page 10. Here again, you'll see in the middle of the page is the transfers in and out. Similar to last year, we transferred from the your water works and sewage fund to your water works operation fund to zero out the negative balance there. If you go further down the page, you'll see something different here. There's a line that's the prior period adjustment. What this was primarily related to is with the increase in water rates, it caused us to have to record an entry that we discussed with management that in prior years it was smaller, related to half of May's billing, which is related to April activity. So it's unbilled AR that offsets itself from one year to the next. But with the increase in rates, it became too large and we needed to record it to keep the financials from being materially misstated. Next, I'd like to point out in the footnotes, which if you go to page 20, similar to one thing I want to point out here is just the new footnotes, the accounts receivable one. Mainly we added this year so you could see the total of billed and unbilled AR that's in accounts receivable at year end, and this is mainly related to that adjustment that I just discussed. Next, I'd like you to go to page 24. Mainly on here, just wanted to point out that the general obligation note payable for the police station was fully drawn down, and I believe the current year amount was about $619K that was issued. Last part here, I want to point out in the footnotes, is mainly just in pages 26 to 31. This is just a big chunk of your footnotes, and it is related to the IMREF note disclosure. It's kind of been increasing over the past few years just to improve the accounting and finance reporting by the government units for the pension. Lastly, that I am going to discuss is the last page of the report, and this is the independent auditor's report for the TIF district. Just want to point out that we tested approximately 99% of the TIF fund expenditures and had no issues that came to our attention. But I do want to point out the primary purpose of our overall audit was not to was not directed toward finding any non-compliance. So had we performed additional procedures, some non-compliance could have came to our attention. And that is all I have, so I'm going to move over to Greg with the letters.
Okay. first letter I want to talk about is the shorter one. It's the one that does not have a date up here at the top. This is what's called our internal control letter. And this would have any items in the operations of the accounting system that we identified as potentially material weaknesses, significant deficiencies, things that could lead to potential misstatements of the financial statements. The first one you'll see on page 2 is material journal entries. We did have, I don't want to say a slew of material journal entries, but each fund did have a material journal entry, basically related to the roll forward of the fund equity. And this generally is related to prior year entries not being recorded accurately or possibly not timely. So that was one major adjustment we had this year. The other one was moving some revenue among funds. There were some liquor licenses that were recorded into a different fund this year than they had been in the past without any board action to make that move. So we moved it back to the fund where it had previously been recorded as revenue based on a board action way back when. So those are the two major areas of material journal entries we had this year. The second material weakness we have there is the segregation of duties. Obviously, with the small size of your office, and it even got a little smaller this year, part of the year, you have some segregation issues there with just having one person who has a lot of access to different areas of the accounting system. So something we've repeated from past years, we provided some suggestions there for areas that potentially could be detective of issues that might come up in this situation. The accounting procedures item there on page 3, it's another material weakness, and again, it's related to a QuickBooks journal entry that should be reviewed before they're submitted. Right now there isn't a second level of review on journal entries that are posted to the QuickBooks system. So obviously that was a lot easier when you had two folks in the office. Not as easy now. But again, that's something that you'd want to get back to when you can. Starting on the bottom of page 3, you'll see the other items sections. So these aren't necessarily material weaknesses or significant deficiencies.
We may not have this letter that you're referring to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was not given to. It was not sent to us.
Okay.
They had the other one, but not the letters.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So, but keep going.
All right.
I'll make sure that Brandy has them. They should be on our portal.
We gave them the finals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got that report, it's in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Some other items, we had repeated items from last year, so I won't go over those, except there is one here I think would really be a benefit for you guys to look at. And basically there's $14,000 that's been sitting in your payroll checking account for just forever. And if that checking account's working the way it should be, you put money in there, the payroll gets paid, it wipes down to zero, you repeat the process the next month. But this $14,000's been trapped in there for several years now. So it would seem at this point it's probably a worthless effort to try and go back and figure out when this happened, how many years ago, because I know it built up over time. It's probably a point where you just transfer it out or reduce one of your payroll transfers in by that amount and just wipe that account out so you use that money up, because it's just sitting there doing nothing and it's trapped. So that's something you might want to look at. That's one of the items on the repeat items. We did have three new items this year. We did some payroll testing on the amounts that were paid for certain payrolls. We picked some transactions, and they were payroll rates that weren't available. There was no documentation available of the rates. Not that they were unreasonable or anything, it just wasn't documentation, which is the best practice to have that in an employee file.
And I want to add, Brandy did tell me that she is doing that from now on, so.
The other one was, or one of the other two, was the testing of the water rates. We always test about 20 to 30 bills a year. And there were some bills that we came across for in-town water-only billings that had some incorrect percentages used in it. We projected the error. It was a very small dollar amount, but just to bring that to your attention that there were some bills that apparently you can probably speak better about this than I can, but the billing in the system was wrong, right?
Right.
Formula.
The formula in the system didn't quite match the agreement. And I think the approach that was taken was similar to what was done in the previous years, but it just didn't match the language. So we didn't feel like
did you see how far back that went?
But that would have been just this year.
When the ordinance changed.
When the ordinance changed.
Yeah. So probably wasn't for very long.
Yeah, as of May 1st, 2017.
And obviously, you don't have a lot of people that are in town with water only. So it's a very.
I think we might have calculated $1,000 or something
like
that.
It was like $1,100 we projected.
It was a pretty small amount. Because it was only in a certain area, I believe, where the water only meters are in town.
And then the last one was, again, in our water testing. There was a manual water meter reading that didn't have documentation, and just a recommendation to make sure there is some documentation for any of those manual readings, because they support the billings that are resulting from them. So that's our internal control letter.
You just did.
The other letter that you don't have is what's called our post-governance letter, and really, it's just a communication to the board to let you know how the audit went as far as interaction with the management and staff, and the overall 30,000-foot picture is that management and staff worked great with us. You know, Matt and Brandy and Chief, they all were very helpful for the time that Nate was out here, and Brandy's always very helpful getting us information before and after field work. So that went terrifically. Our letter also points out some of your major estimates, which for the village are useful lives of assets, the allowance that you put on your receivables, if you do have any, for your water system, and the large estimate, which is not really your responsibility, of your IMRF pension liability. But obviously that's done by IMRF, but that is a big estimate in your financial statement, disclosures at least. We also provide you with a number of pages that list out all the journal entries, so you can see the journal entries that I was referring to earlier. And then we also have some pages where we list out smaller adjustments that, when you do see the letter, it's the landscape pages. These are adjustments we didn't record, but they were large enough that we wanted to bring it to the board's attention, just make you aware there were some things that were not adjusted, and here they are, and here's the impact on the financial statements. So that's the landscape pages that are attached to the letter. Otherwise, the rest of the letter really is just how well did we play with management during the audit. And again, everything went smashingly during field work and post field work. At this point, the only other thing we have left is your annual financial report, which gets submitted to the comptroller's office. And it's been prepared and reviewed, and it's actually sitting right there.
And do you want to, or Brandy was going to take it and then submit it, but.
Okay. She hasn't done the electronic submission.
No, yeah, we have the instructions on here. She said she was going to look over and then submit it.
When does it do?
October 27th.
Okay, she's back in the office Friday.
Yeah. Do you want me just to drop it off later, or is someone going back to the office that can give it to her tomorrow or whenever?
I can just drop it by the office on my way by.
The actual submission gets done electronically. So other than that, are there any questions?
So the alcohol funds got stuck in the general fund, and they're supposed to be in streets and alleys, essentially. The funds from the alcohol.
Yes, the liquor license.
Just got stuck in the general, and they're supposed to be in streets and alleys.
Right.
Okay. And that was something we found last year, I think, because we ended up discovering it last year, and then I think it just didn't get changed. It was kind of wherever that account was going. Just wasn't modified, but I pointed it out to Brandy, so I think she was going to be fixing that.
So anything major we need to change? Anything just like...
Separation of duties.
Separation of duties, which we're working on, so
right.
Now
right.
We have two people in the office. I hope we'll be around for a long time.
But even the continuing oversight, you know, looking at financial statements, looking at the outstanding receivables for the water system periodically, somebody looking at the bank statement once in a while, looking at reconciliations, things like that. Even if it's not every month, I mean, just the ability for somebody knowing that you could do it is a preventative approach. The $14,000 I mentioned, that's definitely something, I mean, that's just been sitting there forever.
Because that's come up on at least four audits.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Hanging out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure if there was checks on it, that they're no good anymore. So.
Well, that's the thing.
Well, and that's another thing too, is there is
there is no check.
There's no checks.
There's just an extra amount.
Yeah, it was just 14.
Well,
so somewhere in the past, extra money got transferred in there.
Okay.
And that account isn't being reconciled either, which I think is also an item that we've mentioned that should be done, is having that reconciliation. Because, yeah, I don't think there is any that are outstanding, but we really guess wouldn't know since there hasn't been a reconciliation done.
Okay.
But we do one manual one.
We do a manual one, and from what we can tell, there's nothing, but it's just based on our.
Okay.
But that's something also I've shared with Brandy, and she said she was going to try starting to do that from here on out.
All right. Any questions, guys? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
This done. All right.
If you're comfortable, you could motion.
I was going to ask that. Can we motion to accept?
Well, do you guys want to wait until you actually have a chance to read those two letters you didn't get? Because, I mean, if we do it at the next board meeting, we're submitting it, we're all legit,
mm-hmm.
we're fine if we want to wait until the next board meeting and you guys have a chance to read this. Unless you're comfortable doing without reading the two letters.
Well, we're just accepting the audit. There's nothing for us to approve, letters or no letters. I mean, because you've sent them to us, we can read them.
Yeah, they all say preliminary on them, but...
I'm
logged into your server because I didn't have them in my email either. So I logged into your server to
the portal.
Or the portal. I'm sorry, the portal. That server.
There should
I'm
be
not
a final.
In
there should be a final folder.
In there.
Yeah, because if you got the.
Do you mind if I?
Oh yeah. Oh, actually, that's where I'm at. But you're fine. There you are.
And what it could be is, this might be what I just emailed you guys, and maybe I didn't even send another one, or I didn't put it on the portal. Has everything cleaned out? Well, I will add them right back on there so you guys can see them. I must have just emailed it too, so it could be in your email as well.
Okay, perfect. So it's up to you guys. If you want to go ahead and accept it, or do you want to read it?
I think we can. There wasn't anything over pressing.
Okay. It's kind of the same thing every year.
So.
Except for the water thing, and I'd like to fix that. Mm-hmm. So that actually, I was waiting for you before we discussed it, because we didn't quite understand it, but that actually makes sense now. That.
Okay.
I think it was just the main thing with the water thing was just Robert was trying to interpret
translate it
and wasn't sure on a few things. From entering it into the system.
But that's fixed. They're getting billed correctly, and so.
Motion to accept the 2018, or would this be 2000?
Fiscal 2018.
Yeah, fiscal 2018. CAFR?
No, it's not a CAFR.
It's not the CAFR.
Audit.
The audit and financials from Martin Hood. So.
Roll call. I'm there.
Eisenay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? Okay. Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You want to try to come up again?
Sure.
I do have a question, though. I sent you an email or a text. I can't remember which one earlier. I think I sent you an email. From Craig.
Yes.
Should we be watering now anyway?
I don't know if it's going to be much or not. We can try. It's kind of past.
Because they overseeded.
It's going to get enough water.
It's wet enough.
So I think watering was.
From what the letter said. 5-10 minutes worth of watering, so it's not going to take that much to put sprinklers around for a half hour.
Okay.
So.
Perfect. All right. Well, now that I sidetracked you.
not to exceed price from R&R Services. I think that was added in the packet. Total not to exceed $9,535. That's to clean up the dump. If you've seen this, he didn't think it would take that much, but that's his not to exceed price. So that's 7 truckloads of material they'd haul out as well. That would be wood and leaves they would get out of here. Like I said, that was his worst case scenario on that. So.
What was the total for it again?
95. $9,535. I don't know if we can get $14,000 to supplement that.
So, questions on that?
We have that, we can move it to...
We do.
Okay.
Actually, we've got it right here. So...
Do we need to vote?
Yeah, we need to vote to approve it, to get rid of it.
When would this be done?
I'm going to push this off a little bit longer, because we have brush pickup until the end of November. We've got leaves. So I want to kind of make sure we get everything.
So you start here in the spring.
Right. Right. So, like I said, I wanted to rent a dozer, kind of push some dirt around out there, really clean that site up, get it leveled out.
And are you planning to do as he suggests and complete the site prep work before they get out there?
That's what I was going to try and do, have them come maybe midweek, get that dozer out there Monday, pick through some of that stuff, and because I know there's piles with wood that's just been pushed up, but it's a mess. It's just a big mess. So.
Motion to approve a quote from R&R Services of Illinois Incorporated for not to exceed $9,535.
I'm sure that's R and F.
R&R.
R&R.
Second.
All right, roll call. Vicky Buffo?
Yes.
Jared Ping?
Yes.
Anna Morris? Terrence Stuper?
Yes.
Ryan Perry?
Yes.
Hopefully, if we do this from year to year, we get this a better system down, it'll be cheaper, quicker. So. The thing you asked me last time for the hydro repair was to kind of find the money in there for that. I found the $13,000 I could take out of, I think I took that on 5 different funds, still underwater. So I took that out of supplies, equipment rental, repairs and maintenance, contracted services, and purchases of equipment. So I didn't touch the construction money at all.
Yes. Perfect.
But this is something I'd really like to get done pretty quick. Because we've got 2 hydrants that are sitting full of water right now, and with the temperatures getting cold, I really don't want to have a major issue on these hydrants. So.
Is that heating and air conditioning check in there?
Try to
pull that off.
We
right
have.
Now.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Cool. Sorry. I don't want to get to that, but I'll sign it.
So that's, like I said, I think that's something we've got to do this year. Hopefully, relatively
I
soon. So.
Okay. Well, how much was that?
Is
that another not to exceed?
Kind of, sort of. We might have a little bit of
Is that the 12,976?
Yeah, and that's mainly material and doing that line stop. So hopefully we can assist with that. We don't have to have any additional help with that.
Because we need to get those fixed before they freeze.
Correct.
Make a motion to approve the quote from IMCO Utility Supply for $12,976.50.
Matt, you said you found the money.
Yes.
I'll second.
All right, Vicky Buffo.
Yep.
Jerry Ping.
Yes.
Darren Stuber.
Yes.
Ryan Perry.
Yes.
The overhead doors, I still don't have, I've got like one quote that is exactly how I wanted it. I've got two more that I'm still in limbo on. Bad part is the quote I got was higher than what I had budgeted. So I'd kind of like to get this done as quick as I can too, with temperatures changing. I had $8,000 budgeted for the door replacement, from two doors and two openers. I mean, replace some wood and some flashing on those two doors facing the street. So if I could get the budget that I had not to exceed the $8,000, I think I could get that taken care of here pretty quick too.
But you said, how much was the quote?
I have one for $8,900. The other two, I don't have exactly how I wanted them yet.
Huh.
One came out and looked, he still had to add windows to the price. The other one hadn't added the wood and flashing to this price yet. So I think the one will be under the $8,000.
So, windows?
Yeah.
In the overhead door?
Yes.
Just little porthole windows?
Yeah.
But are they necessary?
No, I guess not.
Will that significantly move the needle?
No,
if there's not a panel with windows in it?
Windows are like 12 inches by. Yeah.
Plus, it'll add a little light, and you can see when somebody's on the outside of it.
They're not huge windows. It's not huge money by any means.
They look a little better too.
Yeah. I don't think you guys have any windows on that side, do you?
Not on the north side.
I was gonna say, so it gives you.
Got windows on the trucks. Get in the truck and drive.
Well, if the door's down.
I know.
That defeats the purpose of putting new doors in.
Who's your quote from already?
Have Illini, Vanco, and Denny's, I think.
Oh, that's I just sent them their name. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they do Menards.
What?
They do Menards and stuff.
All right. So you said you have one right now? You have one quote, and you're still waiting for the other two.
Right. And I contacted them yesterday, I believe it was, to get that. I haven't heard back from them yet, so it'll probably be tomorrow morning I hear back. So. That, or we can push this off until next meeting.
I have to wait until you've got all of them.
And
you can bring them all at the same time. We can compare them.
All right, what else you got for us?
A phone call the other day from our meter supplier. They have, Master Meter has severed the relationship with our current supplier.
Didn't we just have this issue?
Yeah.
No, I severed the relationship with our
old
supplier. So, what's happening is
what
the old supplier is the
be a distributor for this area. I think they have hard feelings whenever that happened, when we switched. And that kind of put J&J in a rocker. So anyway, I contacted a couple different companies that I had spoke to earlier. One is for it's Badger meters. We have some in our system yet. These are cellular based readers. I had them give me a price for 400 meters. The software.
That's my check cell service here. It's awful.
Hosting. 400 meters for 12 months. Training. With these, we'd have to change the meter lids out. So that's a significant cost there. And then there's an annual fee for this as well. So this is a, I only have one printed out, but if you want to take a look at that, it's a big chunk of change. So. But if we want to make the switch to a newer type of system where residents can view their bill, view their usage online, something like this might be the best case if we do that.
We'll start talking water rates in February, right?
We will, and I think when we look,
if we're
going to
do something like this, it's going to have to come out of water rate increase. So.
It would, and when we looked at these a couple of last year,
mm-hmm.
I think we figured out it was going to be like a $2 upcharge per meter that we put in to
my
cover it.
Looks like it might be
more than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe four.
Yeah. And
just
what is the power company? What does the power company use? Do they use cellular or the radio?
That I don't know.
Because you can now log on.
I think they're cellular
rates.
Now, right?
Huh?
I think they're cellular
power
now.
Power
right?
company?
Yeah, they
usually
now
they transmit over their own lines.
Really?
Most of the time.
Okay. Because now you can log on and get, they put the new smart meters in town.
But we did meter reads yesterday, and just by looking at the meters that aren't reading right now, we have 249 meters that aren't reading. And we changed a bunch of meters out already this year.
How much was that last order with them? How many meters would you have gotten?
72 registers, I think.
So we still wouldn't have enough to place all
not even touch. I guess there could possibly be up to 400 by spring. Cold weather, that's going to, you know, kind of zap some batteries. A lot of those meters that are in the ground right now, they're getting up in age. I just kind of wanted to bring this, kind of show you what, kind of get the sticker shock out of the way right now on that. So, I mean, it's going to be pricey. By the time we get the software and all the, you know, the meters and everything like that, it's going to be expensive. So.
And we were probably looking at a bigger rate increase anyway, considering the aging system that we're going to start needing to place lines anyway. Start getting some capital in the budget for projects.
Well, that's already built into the new rate.
Don't have
the water group we're a part of.
Delaware Water?
Yes. Is there any kind of buying power through them?
Like grouping?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know that they're going to be are going to sponsor one meter over another meter?
No, but they might have contracts with companies to bring the cost of meters down.
Well, that's kind of what we were talking about with ERI. And then what was when they came in here? I mean, they have the buying power.
coming.
ERH?
No.
The
yes, I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Okay.
When they came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that's kind of the same system they've got. So I mean that's something we could go back with them. Okay, turnkey system, how much is it gonna cost? And then, you know, the savings to pay for it over this many years. So you're talking, you know, that's at least three years plus some. We got 1,300 plus meters in town right now. So if we do 400, you know, that starts to get some of the old meters out of the system, but that's not everything out. So
it will be. Probably not talking about until February.
I'm gonna move it up.
Yeah, with these guys, it'd be almost $14,000 a year annual fees once we get all the meters changed out.
How many total meters do we have?
1,300.
Not that it's a big cost. How many hours does it take you guys to read meters?
We got everything for end of day yesterday.
So 8 hours. Every month?
Yeah. But it's going to get to the point where it's, you know, if we don't start swapping them out, it's going to get longer and longer. Cause, you know, the more manual reads you got, the longer it takes.
And plus, if they're in the house, we can't go in the house every month.
Right. Right. The one meter supplier that's in Shelbyville, the system they've got is a radio-based network. I don't think they can do the where the residents can check the meters. I think that has to run back through the office. And then they can send something out to the resident that way.
What's the price difference on the radio reads? Compared to sell.
The meters themselves, I mean, you're talking $25.
But then you have to replace the tops on those too, on the radios?
Yeah, those are $25 a piece.
So $50 more.
And the licensing costs the same?
What's that?
The licensing and.
Right now we own everything.
I mean, the, not the licensing cost,
the radio station, or the
software?
The software, yes.
Software, we own our own software right now.
What about if we switch
to
this?
What if we switch
to
radio reads compared to cell reads? Is there a cost difference in that? For software?
That I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't dug that deep yet.
Yeah, the only annual fee on here is the Beacon hosting units. There's a software engagement fee of $7,500. Let's see.
But this is something I kind of really need feedback on to kind of figure out which way we want to go.
Have we talked to other surrounding communities to see who they use and they can give us feedback so we don't have to go through this again?
Local. There's not many local right around here.
Because they're all selling out tomorrow.
I did look on that website. I think Arcola, Aliqua. They have some to do the cell. They have some to do the drive-by system as well. So,
can you get a hold of that rural water and find out if they give you some ideas of people to call and talk to?
Rural water probably can't. They probably, the suppliers will.
Okay.
For sure.
And find out what system works the best, and if they, what systems they hate, and they're.
That, and that kind of depends on our area too. I kind of started that system with J&J. They shipped that stuff off to Master Meter, and then I heard crickets from there on, because they wanted all of our meters, our addresses, how far out we went, kind of the, I think I even had to send them a topographic map of the area, stuff like that. So I never did hear anything back from them on their reading software with the radio reading. So.
So the rural water supply, are there any grants for water meters as part of a system upgrade?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Definitely all questions we need answers to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because of right now,
if it's
we don't have
that much money. I don't know where. That's not just 1 year.
That's
gonna be the next
oh,
4 years.
Yeah, it's a huge amount.
Every year, another 100 grand.
Well, like I said, that's kind of what we talked about. Is that name that company?
This?
No,
it was another company.
They came in and talked several times.
The energy.
They find the savings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what they do. I mean, they look for grants. They look for financing. They work with us on suppliers. They get the best price they can. So, I mean, that's. I just. If they hadn't done the supplier I liked, it wouldn't have been an ordeal. You know, we kind of kept moving on the way we're moving. But.
So, what are you guys thinking?
This would be that because it would be underground.
Right.
So,
Master Meters is our meter supplier, our meters, and their supplier for their area is somebody you don't care for anymore.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, we can buy it directly from Master Meter, but then they're more expensive.
Yes.
Which doesn't make sense.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
So.
Can you buy these on Amazon? I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
That'd be nice.
We have an Amazon account, too.
Amazon water meters, anyone? Mono price?
And whose meters are those?
Badger.
So if we call Master Meter and let them know we're thinking about dropping them as our meter supplier completely, think they would offer us the back of the regular price?
I don't think they care.
They don't care?
We're such a small.
Yeah, but we're such a small fish with a voice. Who does Illinois American Water use?
I don't know. They use Neptune meters. I think they're pretty pricey. I haven't found a supplier in this area yet.
But they probably last longer, though.
They probably.
Pay a little bit more and last a lot longer.
Not do it for another 30 years?
Mm.
Most meters, battery life is 20 years, and that's it.
Because we're getting 10 out of these, though.
Some we're getting, and that's kind of the other bad part. If we switch out, then we're not getting any savings back as far as warranty.
But we only were getting that through that one company. We never got it through Ferguson.
They're the ones that. And that's why I stopped using Ferguson.
Yeah, so we didn't start getting that savings until you started using.
Well, because she was sending the stuff back to Master Meter.
And
so
then now we aren't getting that anymore. And if we have to go back to Ferguson, we're not going to get that savings.
Right. And I won't do it.
So it's kind of. But we do need to make a decision.
Like I said, I just kind of want to put this out there, kind of show you what kind of the bad part of it is. I mean, that's kind of what you had said you'd kind of like to see.
Mm-hmm.
That that's kind of the pricing you get for the system you receive. So.
So ideas. We gave you a lot of questions.
And the bad thing is, I don't have a lot of answers right now. I haven't really dug that deep into it yet, so I wish I did know more about it. But
if
I
we
just,
don't, if we don't do anything, then in the spring we're going to have twice as many meters to replace.
That, or I could keep the 72 registers coming. We can rebuild those two, those 72. But again, that's not going to touch the 250 we got out right now.
Yeah.
So
ideas. Rebuild the things, which would be cheaper, but we're still gonna have 200 meters that are not broken.
Well, it's gonna be 4 years total to get all these replaced.
But what? If we do 4 years, we'll do 400, which will fix all the meters that are broken.
But that's what
now.
I mean.
Yeah.
If we get a cost breakdown of that 4 years, how much per year plus what the rate increase needs to be just to cover the meters?
Yeah.
So we've got 400. I feel, I mean, we can do that. 1,300 meters in a year, I don't know that we can do that.
You can't do anything
that's what I mean,
else.
It's going to be spread out over
right.
several years to get this done.
Meters,
because we're going to need to do a pretty big campaign with the village residents on this is why your rates are going to go up.
And I think some people would appreciate it if, because biggest questions we have here is why did my water go up or why did I use so much this month? And people would have a chance to actually monitor what they're using, which I think would be nice. So.
Well, that would just kind of a small look at what's out there. I'll do some more digging before the next meeting. And kind
perfect.
Of get some more, hopefully
okay.
some more information.
All right, what else you got for us?
Hold on, 1 second. Could you do me a favor? And I'm just thinking about Illinois American, and yeah, maybe because they buy in bulk, they might get the same meters for their small communities as they do for their larger communities. You don't think there's any chance that they're using more than one type?
Illinois American?
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Okay. All right, I was.
They come into the town, they swap everything out.
Okay.
That way they can read everything with one.
Same thing.
Yeah, because
okay.
they swapped all the meters out in, what, one, less than a week when they took over Sidoris.
Yeah.
But there's only a couple
yeah,
hundred.
Yeah,
right.
They got a little more manpower to do that.
Okay.
I think I would follow up on. On this point, and that is, it might be worth just calling them to see if there's a chance we can buy through them since we're already a customer of theirs. I do know that they will sell pipe for small towns and projects.
Didn't we kind of discuss that?
We discussed them helping us do some work. I don't know if we talked about buying stuff from them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing that we're a lot more likely to be able to buy pipe than we are electronic. Meters, but we are already a customer of theirs, so they might play ball or they may not. But I think it's worth a call.
Okay.
All they can do is say no.
Or they'll look at it and go, well, if they can't afford that, maybe they'll sell to us and we'll do it.
And make it more desirable if they were sold to them, then, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Looks like Neptune meters are about a little less than $300.
I still don't have a quote for the pylon spreader. I'd kind of like to get the Ford truck on eBay or whatever we're going to do with it here. So if I can get Brian's help with that, we can get that thing possibly in here pretty soon. So.
Has it been surplused already?
The truck?
Yeah,
we voted to give it to him.
Okay.
So as soon as we get the other one.
No, the...
Oh, his truck.
The dump truck.
I don't know.
What's that?
before we throw it on eBay and sell it, has it been surplus and saleable?
We'd have to look back and.
I don't think it has.
I don't think we have.
Because we were waiting on the snowplow.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
Yeah, it's. It's not on here, so. So next meeting, we'll need to make sure it's on there for surplus so we can sell it.
Yep.
We can do that. Hopefully by then I'll have something on that plow spreader.
Get your pictures taken, your story written up.
Right. I don't know if anybody's seen sidewalk replacement. That started looking good.
I have a question. This is for the board. We had this question come up last week. When we're doing, what about giving people grants to do some of the work themselves, such as the Baptist Church reached out because we're doing the sidewalk replacement right around their place. They're like, hey, could you move our, if you're going to do this, can you move our sidewalk for us? Well, we're not replacing the sidewalk they wanted moved. They wanted it moved a little bit for parking and stuff. I think they wanted to move back. I can't remember. But there was room to do it, but it would have cost us, how much would it have cost us to do that?
$4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah, $4,000 or $5,000. So if we would have bought the materials and said, hey, we'll buy the materials. If you would like to move your sidewalk, you guys go ahead and do it. They used to do that back in the day, apparently. They would do little grants, like the village would buy the materials, then the church people can show up and put their own sidewalk in. We have that problem of what's it called when you have to pay prevailing wage. But we're not doing the work, we're just giving them the materials and they're doing it themselves,
kind of sponsoring it though.
My question would be is if the work is done and completed and it's not ADA compliant or it ends up being a hazard, then who's responsible for that work?
Breaks down later on, the cracks or warranty work wouldn't even be done.
Yeah.
So it's just an idea. That was what was brought up. They used to do it. And I think that's how we got a lot of our water mains put in and sewer lines put in when they switched over. A lot of it was.
The problem is with times have changed with lawsuits and being compliant and giving somebody that doesn't know how to do the work and they make money and it's like you say, the next week it's falling apart. There's a lot of. I totally understand, but I think there's too many.
Okay. And I just have a comment about the sidewalk replacement. The one in front of Fountain of Life, they dug it out like on Friday, I think. Not sure.
Thursday, and then it was going to rain. It rained Friday.
Yeah, they. It made it hard for them to get the people up the ramp.
I noticed that Friday.
They had to go through the grass with the chunked up grass also in there. But other than that, I've already heard from them that they're excited that it's being done. Yeah. So they're excited to see it.
If we'd had good weather, I think it would have been done probably that day.
Yeah.
Friday. So, yeah.
Yeah. So they're excited. I know that.
Good.
So.
Sidewalk was tipped the wrong way, so they corrected that, kind of made a transition in there. So all I have to do is cut that, take that part out, fix it next year, we'll be good to go. So, but I think a lot of the sidewalks we're getting in a lot better shape now. I think we'll have some intersections we'll probably have to do, kind of like we're doing along Holden Street, getting the domed panels in there to get us ADA. We have the crack ceiling done in Deer Path. To get our price down to the 20,000, we cut out Walnut Street. So we got Deerpath, James, Winstone, Sterling, Whitehead, and Condit done. Everything, I mean, it looked like they did a good job. It was that rubberized material that heated up to like 400 degrees, put it in the crack. It's good, so all that looks really good from what I see. So we'll probably need to do some more work, finish up Walnut, and then probably consider doing Kinderwood next year, kind of keep on top of that. The last thing I've got, we did give our 105 East Daggy project, that was in the paper last Sunday. So we've gotten, I'd say, five or six companies that are bidding on that, or at least asked for information on that. So we're going to open bids on the 29th. I didn't think we'd get it in last Sunday's paper, so I kind of pushed it back a little bit. We got it in last Sunday, so we'll have it in for 3 weeks. I had the completion date of April 15th. I just wanted to make sure we got grass established, everything like that, because this time of year, you're not going to really get grass growing the way it needs to grow. So, but I think, because I kind of talked that over with Rob, kind of told me my thoughts on that. And he thought that was just fine with that, so.
So that's April what?
15th.
15th.
And that's all I got.
Any questions? So, treasurer's report, which is not here. We had a question on the bills. Actually, that kind of goes along with the letter from Grunlow. Did everybody have a chance to read that letter from Grunlow? What's your thoughts on that letter from Grunlow?
Where'd they put the topsoil at? Did they just... Was it just around the building?
I
Matt, do you know? Where'd they Grunlow dump their topsoil at?
No idea. I don't know if they've added any.
Did you saw that letter from Grunlow?
They said they added over 6 yards of topsoil. I wasn't seeing too much.
When?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
That's that letter that they gave us last week. Craig gave us.
So they rototilled and added over 6 yards of topsoil. It just doesn't say when they did it. Because I was walking around the side yard, and that looks the same grade. There's no changes around the sewer manhole. That would, I think, if they'd added a bunch of topsoil, it would have been built up a little bit.
Right. Well, if they'd asked.
And it's still just as rocky on that side as it was
right.
In the past.
Other than hauling away that soil that you gave them to put down?
Yeah, we hauled in a little bit that was decent, and then they used a little bit around the building, and then that other stuff, and it had a lot of sod and stuff in it, but they didn't want, and they took it off like somewhere, so.
So we hold back, what, 10,000?
Mm-hmm. And the yard man came and they came this week, didn't they? They came and aerated and overseeded.
Yeah, it's fresh aerated, but then overseeded.
And for the yard man overseeded with it. But And then they're like, well, you're gonna water it. I'm like, it's really out of this time of the season to be watering. So the question is, the warranty's about up on the building. I don't really have a list of any things for them to fix.
The furnace, do they?
Well, yeah, let's, we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So I'm gonna send a rebuttal letter back, but I am not hip on signing the letter that they sent to us, because I'm still not happy with it. Unless anybody has any other, nothing. Now, to the furnace, to the bill that's in there for the furnace. They, Grunlow's complaining that's not warranty, it's because we didn't replace the filter. If you read the invoice, it's because the switch from the company, they had to call an electrician and the switch was bad.
I've got just a couple questions. Who called Mertz?
They did. Grunlow did.
Okay. Well, that's Grunlow's too. That's Grunlow's.
How does everybody feel about that?
It needs to be Grunlow.
Mm-hmm. Vicky? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they could have said it was already.
That's my feeling too. We kicked the bill back to him. We sent it to him. It got ignored. And then I handed it to Craig. And Craig's like, well, that's because you guys didn't ever change your filters, and the filters went out. And I'm like, that's not what it says on there.
Do you want to at least call MERS and just let them know that?
Well, we, Brandy, attempted to talk to it.
If anything, it's
well.
Because of the outside condensing unit was full, but that's because they didn't have grass.
Yeah.
And it got dirty from the dirt, so that still goes back to Grunlow Construction.
That was kind of my feeling on it too. I went ahead and, since Brandy wasn't here, went ahead and had her issue a check for it in case you guys voted differently. That's why there's a check in there, and that's why there's a note on it. So, all right. Any other questions about the bills?
I will say, Bill.
Did you have another question?
No, I was looking at Ryan.
Okay. Go ahead.
Bob Brown. He submitted one yesterday,
yeah.
So he didn't make it in time, I don't think, for the bills, but that'll be in the next
in a couple weeks. It was 54,000 or something like that,
something
like that. That's about half of what his bill was. So he's about a little over halfway done, I think.
And we did get water to the new house.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Most important thing.
One more thing in those.
Sorry.
I'll make a motion to
Hold
pay
on.
The bill.
You can go. Yeah, go ahead and pay it. I'm good. I just
as need presented, with the exception of the Mertz heating and air conditioning.
Perfect.
Second. It's MERC.
All right. Roll call. Vicky Buffo.
Yes.
Jared Ping.
Yes.
Terrence Stuber.
Yes.
Ryan Perry.
Yes.
I'm sorry, who seconded that?
I did.
Yeah.
All right. Sewer credits. Didn't they see sewer credits in there?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't either. Of course, I've got up to a billion things open right now. Okay. Regular session minutes from October 2nd, 2018.
Motion to approve the regular session minutes from October 2nd, 2018.
Need a second?
Second.
Is that roll call or is that all?
Ayes and ayes.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? All right. Now, executive session minutes, October 2nd, 2018.
Motion to approve executive session minutes from October 2nd, 2018.
A second.
Now that's roll call.
Yes.
Vicky Buffo.
Abstain.
Jared Ping.
Yes.
Terrence Stuber.
Yes.
Ryan Perry.
Yes.
I'm going to, anybody have any questions about the health insurance stuff? That's more, we need Brandy here to kind of go through that. Because questions I can't answer then. And then, we're not ready to vacate the alley. Any questions about the alley vacation? The paperwork's not quite done on that. But anybody have any heartburn over that? We're going to pay for lawyer costs. They're going to take the tree down. Everybody's good with that? Perfect. We'll get that in the paper and have it for the next meeting.
We have, yes, because that one's not zoning, so we have that ad ready. So we'll go in shortly. So yeah, I think it should be for the next meeting.
And see any special events? Anything for executive session? Anything good for the good of the order?
Motion adjourned.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're done.
No.